And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
There is much excitement in Christ Lutheran Church in Petswood in Kent in the UK as we celebrate 60 years of the church's founding there with a special service of Thanksgiving this weekend. Of course, many Lutheran churches around the world have longer times on this planet spreading the word, but the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the UK is quite small, but always has had a powerful message. Lutheran Radio UK had its own founding and launched there with a studio in Petswood until it was relocated to its new studio where it broadcasts from now, from Cambridge. Founding members of Christ Church will be reading at the special service, and there will be great celebration with embarrassing photos of all of us in our younger days being displayed for all to point and laugh at. We give thanks to our risen Lord for Christ Church and all his servants that we are all able to share God's word for 60 years and that the ELCE will grow and tell of his love until his return. Researchers have found a surprising correlation between longevity and religious faith. Churchgoers appear to live up to 4 years longer than atheists, at least according to an analysis of 1,000 obituaries published across the US. The Ohio State psychology researchers behind the study insist there is merit to the connection. People with religious affiliations often volunteer and engage in social activities throughout their lives, something routinely tied to a longer lifespan. But they found that this socializing only appeared to boost longevity by a year at most, suggesting other elements of religious life, such as low alcohol intake, could contribute. The Ohio State University study was based on 1,000 obits published across the US in 2011. While the data set is small, the psychology research team insisted there is merit to the correlation. There's still a lot of benefit of religious affiliation that this can't explain, study lead author Laura Wallace, a doctoral student in psychology at The Ohio State University, said. Dr. Baldwin Way, associate professor of psychology at Ohio State, who co-authored the study, concurred. He said that while findings may sound like tosh to atheists, there was a correlation they couldn't ignore. The study provides persuasive evidence that there is a relationship between religious participation and how long a person lives, he said. Dr. Way surmises that this correlation might depend on how religious one's community is. Indeed, the first installment of this study involved 505 obituaries published in the Des Moines Register in Iowa in January and February 2012. There, the lifespan gap was even greater. Religious people lived 9.45 years longer than their atheist peers, but that shrunk to 6.48 years when they took gender and marital status into account. The second study included 1,096 obits from 42 major cities in the US published on newspaper websites between August 2010 and 11. In this study, people whose obits mentioned a religious affiliation lived an average of 5.64 years longer than those whose obits did not, which shrunk to 3.82 years after gender and marital status were considered. Many studies have shown that people who volunteer and participate in social groups tend to live longer than others. The researchers combined figures from both studies to see if the volunteer and social opportunities that religious groups might offer might explain the longevity boost. Results showed that this was only part of the reason why religious people live longer, according to the researchers. Wallace said, "We found that volunteerism and involvement in social organizations only accounted for a little less than 1 year of the longevity boost that religious affiliation provided." Dr. Way said that the reason for their longevity may be related to the rules and norms of many religions that restrict unhealthy practices such as alcohol and drug use and having sex with many partners. He said many religions also promote stress-reducing practices that may improve health, such as gratitude, prayer, or meditation. The fact that the researchers had figures from other cities also allowed them to investigate whether the level of religiosity in a city and a city's personality could affect how religious affiliation influenced longevity. Findings showed that a key personality element related to longevity in each city was the importance placed on conformity to community values and norms. In highly religious cities where conformity was important, religious people tended to live longer than non-religious people. But in some cities, there was a spillover effect. Wallace added, "The positive health effects of religion spill over to the non-religious in some specific situation. The spillover effect only occurs in highly religious cities that aren't too concerned about everyone conforming to the same norms. In those areas, non-religious people tend to live as long as do religious people. Dr. Wei said there are limitations to the study, including the fact that it could not control for important factors related to longevity, such as race and lifestyle. But a potential strength was that, unlike other studies, religious affiliation was not self-reported, but was reported by the obituary writer. But Wallace said that the findings, published this week by the journal Social Psychology and Personality Science, provided additional support to the growing number of studies, showing that religion does have a positive effect on health. The Catholic Church says it will refuse to report confessions of child sex abuse despite a law that requires priests to do so, defending the practice as sacred. The South Australian Catholic Church will not adhere to a change in law requiring priests to report confessions of child sex abuse, the acting Archbishop of Adelaide says. Under the new law set to take effect in October, priests who hear confessions about child abuse will have a legal obligation to report the matter to police. Politicians can change the law, but we can't change the nature of the confessional, which is a sacred encounter between a penitent and someone seeking forgiveness and a priest representing Christ, Bishop Greg O'Kelly told ABC Radio Adelaide on Friday. It doesn't affect us. We have an understanding of the seal of confession that is in the area of the sacred. Canon Church law says and lays down that it is absolutely forbidden for a confessor to betray in any way a penitent in words or in any manner and for any reason. The penalty for violating the seal of confessional is excommunication, as every priest knows. The law also stipulates that anyone else who happens to hear or overhear someone confessing sacramentally is also obliged to observe the seal. Not reporting abuse will carry a maximum $10,000 fine, Australian dollars, and brings expectations of priests in line with those of social workers, teachers, medical professionals, and others in positions of authority. An Attorney General's Department spokesman said authorities intend to follow up instances where the law has been broken and prosecution may result. Where there is clear evidence to indicate a minister of religion has failed to abide by their mandatory reporting requirements, the matter would need to be investigated by authorities, with further action, including prosecution, taken as appropriate, the statement said. The law forms part of the South Australian Government's response to the Royal Commission into Institutional Responses to Child Sex Abuse, released by Attorney General Vicky Chapman last Tuesday. Bishop O'Kelly said the church had not been made aware of the change, which was legislated last year, until last week. The Austrian government is to order the closure of 7 mosques and expel up to 60 imams in a crackdown on political Islam and Turkish nationalism, it has been announced. Parallel societies, political Islam and radicalizations have no place in our country, Sebastian Kurz, the Austrian chancellor, said. 6 of the 7 mosques are being closed on suspicion of links to Islamic extremism. They are run by an organization called the Arab Religious Community, which the government has also ordered to be shut down. The 7th mosque affected is a separate case. It is to be closed on suspicion of links to the Grey Wolves, a far-right Turkish nationalist group. The move comes after images emerged earlier this year of children as young as 4 being made to wear Turkish army uniforms and salute the Turkish flag inside the mosque in Vienna's Fahrettin district. 2 imams have received deportation orders and another 60 are under investigation and could face expulsion along with their family members, Herbert Kickl, the Austrian Interior Minister, said. They include 40 members of the Union of Turkish Islamic Cultural Associations in Europe, the ATIB, a group close to the Turkish government which is also suspected of links with the Grey Wolves. Turkey reacted angrily to the move. Austria's decision to close 7 mosques and expel imams is a reflection of the Islamophobic, racist and discriminatory wave in this country, a spokesman for President Erdogan said. It is an attempt to target Muslim communities for the sake of scoring cheap political points. Austria denied that the move targeted Muslims in general and said it was only directed at politicized mosques whose activities were not in line with the country's constitution. It is not a contradiction to be a devout Muslim and a proud Austrian, Gernot Blümel, the cultural minister, said. Mr. Kurz is in coalition with the far-right Freedom Party, the FPO, and his government has been accused of fanning populist anti-Muslim sentiment. Six of the mosques to be closed are run by the Arab religious community. The Austrian government says the group is promoting the hardline Salafi school of Islam, followed by extremists such as ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Pope Francis declared having an abortion after finding birth defects in an unborn child was just as bad as the Nazi eugenics program. Ditching his prepared remarks to a meeting of an Italian family association, Francis spoke from the heart with the off-the-cuff comments. He lamented how many couples choose not to have any children, and others resorted to prenatal testing to see if their baby had any malformations or genetic problems. "The first proposal in such a case is, do we get rid of it?" Francis said. "The murder of children. To have an easy life, they get rid of the innocent." Pope Francis recalled that as a child he was horrified to hear stories from his teacher about children thrown from the mountain if they were born with defects. "I say it with pain. Last century the whole world was scandalized by what the Nazis did to purify the race," he said. "Today we do the same thing, but with white gloves." The pontiff then implored the audience to keep their children regardless of whether they were healthy and to love them as God did his followers. "Children should be accepted as they come, as God sends them, as God allows, even at times if they are sick," he said. Under Nazi eugenics programs, hundreds of thousands of people were forcibly sterilized and tens of thousands killed in an attempt to clean the chain of heredity by those with physical or cognitive disabilities. Pope Francis has repeated the strict anti-abortion stance of his predecessors and integrated it into his condemnation of what he calls today's throwaway culture. He frequently lamented how the sick, the poor, the elderly and the unborn are considered unworthy of protection and dignity by a society that instead prizes individual prowess. Pope Francis earlier decried how women are often considered part of this throwaway culture, sometimes forced to prostitute themselves. "How many of you pray for these women who are thrown away, for these women who are used, for these girls who have to sell their own dignity to have a job?" he asked during his morning homily last Friday. Francis has dedicated much of his pontificate to preaching about families, marriage, and the problems that families today encounter. He is expected to highlight these issues during his August trip to Ireland, where he'll close out the Catholic Church's big family rally. Father Fadi Shaloufa was knifed as he tried to stop a group of men abusing Christians making a holy visit to the birthplace of Jesus, the Basilica of the Nativity. Father Shaloufa runs the adjacent Catholic chapel of the Milk Grotto and was hurt after interfering in a commotion on June the 1st. In a bid to protect worshippers from a violent crowd, the priest guided the believers to safety in his grotto before closing the gate on the group of men. One of the men then reached through the metal bars of the gate and struck Father Shaloufa with a blunt object, leaving stab wounds. Palestinian police arrested a group of men following the attack, which was caught on CCTV camera. The footage shows Father Shaloufa shepherding the pilgrims through a gate before admonishing their pursuers. After a brief argument, one of the men lunges at the priest, who backs away holding his chest. Palestinian Archbishop Atallah Hana of the Greek Orthodox Patriarch in Jerusalem said, "We thank God that the injury was minor, but this action is a criminal act that is far from our human, moral, and national values. We reject attacks against clerics." Anti-persecution charity Open Doors highlighted the ongoing problems facing Christians in Palestine. The country was ranked 36 in its annual persecution watch list, with the group warning Christians are caught in the crossfire of the ongoing Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The charity has warned, "Their ethnicity means many restrictions from the Israeli side, while their faith makes them a minority in the Muslim-majority Palestinian community. Society is conservative, and leaving Islam is difficult. Converts from Islam bear the brunt of persecution, but even changing your church denomination is controversial. Israeli restrictions and the fear of growing Islamic radicalism has caused many Christians to emigrate. The Christian population is shrinking rapidly." My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.